Hi, my name is Najib Thorani.
And I'm Chris Ye, and welcome to Human Capital Talk.
So today we're going to talk a little bit about the how-tos of career development. And specifically, want to cover at different levels in your experience, how do you and what activities should you take to improve yourself coming right out of school and focusing on your early career, and eventually what to do as you're kind of, you know, approaching mid-career and where you want to take it.
Yeah. And what we're going to try to do is give you a lot of practical tips and tell stories from our own lives, because after all, there's nothing like a good story for fixing something in your mind.
Absolutely. We've come back to this more than a couple of times, but certainly at my career, I benefited from coming out of engineering with a set of skill sets in electrical engineering. And we all know that if you're an electrical engineer, 97% of us don't actually end up doing anything with circuits. I think it's one of the weird engineering disciplines. Everything else, if you're a mechanical engineer, you'll end up in that area. If you're civil, you'll end up in one respect. But electrical, we just end up in project management, program management, product. We're the wild card, if you will. But how that affected me was certainly it forced me to take a good amount of initiative in my career, because my initial interviews were changed. I thought I was going to be a programmer focusing on telecommunications, and I moved very quickly into customer service, business development, and pre-sales. But what steps can we take as somebody that's new in the job market to start mapping out what our desire is and where we can start doubling down in our career?
Now, I'm very interested in this because it's really one of the core things that sets you down your path. So what led you to pick electrical engineering as your major?
Oh, that's a more interesting story, and I'd say it probably has more to do with the stereotypical trope that I'm Indian. So it actually wasn't going to be an electrical engineer. It was going to be a doctor. And then I had to have that faithful conversation at the age of 15 with my mother. It was actually a bit fascinating, actually, because certainly as the stereotype goes, you want to be a doctor. Failing a doctor, you want to be a lawyer, and failing that, you want to be an accountant. These are jobs that provide a stable means of income and a good solid career. And so my mother was already optimizing my career from a very young age. I did biology, science, chemistry combination all the way through. Then I encountered formaldehyde, realized I hated it, and then had to tell my mom I don't want to be a doctor, to which she promptly told me our son was a failure. Then I
was
a lawyer. And I said, no, not really interested in that. You know, and I wasn't going to be an accountant despite having several uncles in that area. And so at this point, she was, you are a failure. This is the tiger mother, so just run with me on it. But I do remember my dad was a computer systems analyst at Canadian National. I said, hey, I'm an analyst. And she's like, exactly.
he could be saying, you know, I'm standing right here. Yes, failure, I know.
Yes. But I actually loved playing with Meccano, Tinker Toys, electronics. I actually had a 201 kit, which was a way to connect capacitors and resistors and all sorts of things and create all these wonderful projects. And I've been playing with that since I was 12. So that pretty much set the stage for me wanting to be an engineer and tinker with it. So that's actually how I got into engineering. And then, you know, it fostered my love of robotics and, you know, connecting things and turning on circuits. And, you know, eventually got to quantum stuff, which is a lot more abstract, but I enjoyed it.
Now, very important question. What does your mother say about you today?
Well, unfortunately, I'd like to think she's very proud, but she did pass away when I was a little bit younger.
I'm terribly sorry to hear that.
But, you know, it's very interesting how that influence does affect you over life. I mean, she taught me to be a critical thinker. And over the course of university, she saw that I was actually very passionate about what I was doing, and I was learning a hell of a lot. And so, you know, eventually you come up with a degree, and there's definitely that pride that all parents feel, which is like, now go make something of yourself.
See, that's that well done, son, well done, son, that everyone always craves to hear, at least if they're a boy. Now, what's interesting about your story is you didn't necessarily pick electrical engineering because you said, I'm going to spend the rest of my life doing electrical engineering. Instead, it was a discipline that you were excited about, that you were passionate about, that you enjoyed. There was some family history there. But really, when you're talking about education, your advice isn't, hey, you know, pick a particular major because it's going to help you in your career.
No, and I think forcing that question on students at such a young age is not necessarily the best approach. And I know a lot of universities now are starting to adopt, unfortunately, more of a vocational or college approach to try and optimize people in their career paths a bit earlier. I was fortunate in the university I went to, which was Carleton University in Canada, had a very strong belief in an engineering common core. So for the first 2 years, you're hanging out with civil engineers, environmental engineers, mechanical engineers, aerospace engineers, and business students and everything else. But you are focusing on that common core. And I think that's incredibly valuable. Once you pick up, you know, those skills and that depth of skills and that variety, it teaches you two things, which comes back to a couple of earlier episodes. It teaches you how to collaborate with people in different disciplines and different industries, because we don't build something that is purely in one discipline these days. We're working with all sorts of different stakeholders. So you're going to forge some strong relationships over there. You're going to learn about a lot of different areas, and that will actually help determine where you want to go. It's an organic process. I, for example, I have a small pet theory for those engineers on the phone call. If you look at the disciplines and you look at mathematics behind it, a lot of electrical engineers and computer systems engineers tend to love derivatives and systems of equations and math. Mechanical engineers, civil, they love integration, which I'm going to be very honest, I cannot stand. And it was very interesting to see how that appreciation or lack of appreciation of a certain branch of mathematics actually helped push us further in our career.
I do want to point out that many of our listeners may not actually remember how to integrate or take a derivative at this point in time, and that's okay as well.
I actually, for what it's worth, I do remember we had a math teacher in second year, and he was the full calculus professor, and he wrote his own books. And his name actually, well, he went by the moniker Dr. Bastard, which arguably is probably a bit inartful, but he owned it and he ran with it all the time. But we had four booklets, like Fourier transforms, integration, basic calculus, derivatives. And I think it was on the integration module where we came in just after the holidays, and he had this little ditty to help us, you know, and to inspire us. And I recall it saying, "Old age, cunning, and deceit will always beat youth, talent, and innocence. So study your asses off. Affectionately yours, Dr. Bastard."
Words of wisdom to live by. The other thing I'll mention about education, just looking back on my own education, is while I certainly believe that my university education, my academic career has been very important in my career, I studied product design engineering, which is all about design thinking, and creative writing, which of course is about writing. It was the non-academic extracurricular activities that also contributed. So, for example, I taught public speaking for the engineering department. That's obviously been very important in my career. And I also studied improvisational comedy, which is a fantastic preparation for the entrepreneurial world. So don't forget about your extracurricular activities as well. After the break, we're going to pick things up post-university and talk about both early in your career and mid-career ways of handling career development. So stick around. Hey, welcome back. Always glad to have you guys here. During the break, now, as you were saying, you realize we hadn't really covered something really important, which is the high school element of education.
Correct. I mean, the idea of getting into university right now, and certainly my parents and my mother in particular being the stereotypical tiger mother, but there is definitely a lot of anxiety in terms of being able to demonstrate your value to a university, to a college. And a lot of that ties into extracurricular activities. And this is a little bit more relevant to me right now, because when I'm talking to my cousin, and her daughters are both about that university going age, where it's even more competitive now than when I went to school. And so it's, well, great, you've got good grades, but that's not enough. Like, what have you done in terms of your volunteer activities? What have you done in terms of extracurricular activities? Capturing all that information you know, over time, and being in a position to be able to articulate that is also a very important part of getting into university. And it also helps you plan out your career.
Absolutely. Because if you think about it, let's say you don't do any extracurricular activities, yet somehow you still get into college. You go through college, you're studying classes all along, and all of a sudden you graduate. Well, how do you know what you want to do? Mm-hmm. If you haven't taken the time to try out different things, to intern, to do all this kind of stuff, how are you going to know what actually makes sense for you? So you have to experience these things in order to understand what path you want to steer with your career.
Now, just to offer like the opposite view on that, and this did happen to me, a lot of people sometimes they have the financial means to, you know, take a gap year and broaden your horizons and everything else.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that.
Me neither, but I didn't have necessarily the means to be able to do it. But the other aspect for me certainly was going into engineering. I had done kind of pre-calculus, and so I was afraid that stuff was going to spill out of my mind. So out of fear, I was like, it's in my head. It's currently here. I don't want to lose it. And if I could forget it. So I went straight into university. But it's definitely been something at the back of my mind. I like talking to people, and I make friends quite easily. And so it was nice to have a social circle that were not necessarily engineers that was able to broaden my horizons, certainly while I was in university. But not everybody has that.
Yeah. And I think that is another thing that really carries over into early in your career, which is your career development isn't just about what you do at the office. So let's talk about career development, early career, first or second job after graduating from college or university.
Absolutely. So when you brought into an organization, I can say this now from a different perspective where if I'm looking to hire people, I have to obviously put out a job description and a job brief and put this out onto LinkedIn or whatever job board I choose to use. Interestingly, when those tend to be, you know, graduate or associate or entry level positions, the roles do tend to be a bit more prescriptive. And so we're telling people what we expect of them. How do you work within those bounds to be creative and to kind of grow your skills? And how can you work outside of them?
Yeah. Well, when it comes to your job description, I always tell people your job description, I consider it a recommendation or a set of guidelines. Because if you think about it, a job description or even a job title like product manager can encompass many different things. And at different companies, a product manager will do very, very different things. So instead of focusing on the description or the title, I would focus on the day-to-day activities and getting really good at those day-to-day activities, whether that's talking with people, writing structured, concise documents, trying to work with a software engineering team, or what have you. These are all the kinds of skills that you never really got a chance to practice when you're in college and that now you need to master early in your career.
Correct. And there's a bunch of things you can do beyond, you know, just career development within the organization. And most modern companies, and certainly ServiceNow where I work, have a variety of tools to help you improve in whatever dimension or whatever aspect you choose. However, there's a lot to be said about the proverbial side project. So you can volunteer, you can do a lot of different things. For me, I'm actually very passionate about, you know, side hobbies and side projects, and you meet great new people, you can work together, you can improve skills that are outside of your core domain as well. So I don't, for example, you know, actively code anymore, but I do that very much as a hobby. It's something that I like. It brings me joy. It allows me to solve difficult types of problems, and I can, you know, work with other people on those areas of my career that I want to improve that are not necessarily related to my day job.
And something that really worked well for me in my own career is looking for opportunities to lead and distinguish myself outside of the office. And a lot of that came down to professional associations. So there's a lot of professional associations that are out there. They organize events, they organize conferences and the like. And I always tell everyone, if you're going to join an organization, you might as well lead the organization or be one of the leaders of the organization. And so for me, that organization was what was then known as SD Forum, the Software Development Forum. It has now since been renamed the Silicon Valley Forum. And I actually led a group called the Founders Forum that gathered founders together and brought in investors and other luminaries to speak with them. And that was really critical early in my career. It gave me exposure to these high-level people and gave me a chance to learn what it was like to corral entrepreneurs. Never an easy task. But this was something that occurred completely outside my regular day-to-day job and yet probably was as important or more important to the development of my career.
True. And I mean, to just play off that, the notion of peer networking. So certainly I'm seeing that right now in my day job, but going out and saying I'm working in a particular industry and I would like to meet with fellow peers in other companies in these meetups. So not just necessarily a full-blown side project, but something that is very relevant to your day job or to your industry, for example, law and legal, where you can share best practices. Because one of the things we've also seen is that very rarely do, you know, great ideas come just from one organization. That ability to foster a dialogue with different people in different industries or in the same industry, but just slightly different, you know, tangential areas can actually add to the debate and foster a very useful and a thoughtful discussion that helps all of you go back and improve yourselves and improve processes or areas that you work on within your company.
Now, as you progress in your career, you get to the middle of your career, maybe you've reached an executive level, you certainly are now managing others and things like that, the opportunities change a bit. Because now all of a sudden, as you're going out there and you're working within the company, you have those leadership positions. The company may also have the resources to do things like send you to an executive education program, for example, or have you go and speak at conferences instead of just going to attend conferences and network. How do things change once you reach that level in your career?
Almost always to your benefit, because those particular initiatives, and putting aside the executive education, but the ability to go and speak at conferences, the ability to author thought leadership papers and everything else, those are actually helping to build your soft skills, which we've seen anecdotally is definitely going to be more of an indicator of future success and forward momentum in your career.
Yeah. And a big way of thinking about this is the company at mid-career is one of the key components of your platform. But one of the things you're trying to do from a career development perspective is to build out the rest of your platform. Because let's face it, people don't necessarily stay at the same company their entire career. There may come a great opportunity to become CEO of a new startup or do all these other things. And the more you have built your platform independent of your company, the more you'll be able to carry that over.
Correct. And this kind of comes back into another area of being a specialist versus a generalist. Based on all these different extracurricular activities, whether it's speaking at an industry conference that's related to the industry you're in, it's volunteering, it's working on a side project, it's teaching yourself a new skill, you can be doing these not only in your industry, but external to your industry, and you can be capturing, you know, the technicolor dimensions to your skills, your capabilities, your competencies, and that actually puts you in a better position for forward career momentum.
And that's the counterintuitive common thread that runs throughout your career when it comes to career development. As we saw in your education, the things that happen outside the classroom are often really important in setting you up on your way, whether you're in high school or in college. Meanwhile, early in your career and in the middle of your career, not only are you progressing on the job, in the office, but you're also working at professional associations and speaking at conferences and doing all these things to build up your platform. So the best way to develop your career is not just to focus solely on your career and what you do in the office, but the entirety of the platform that you have.
And case in point, and a common thread throughout this podcast, is my own speaking skills, my own ability to enunciate and project and talk. And it can be a bit nerve-wracking because you start out and you start speaking and you're a little bit nervous. You might not be using a pregnant pause. You may find yourself saying a little bit more. And there are a couple of ways to solve this. One is to go and take a professional speaking course. But even then, they're going to come back and tell you what we're going to tell you right now. Just get going. practice, repeat, and you'll improve.
And if you want to practice some of these skills, if you have the Anchor mobile app, you can actually call into this show, leave a message, we'll pick it up, we'll judge your elocution and pregnant pauses and all those things. But more importantly, you'll have your voice on the Human Capital Talk podcast. So use the Anchor mobile app to call in with your thoughts, your questions, your suggestions, and your evaluation of our overall podcast.
We look forward to speaking with you next time.
On Human Capital Talk, I'm Chris Yeh.
I'm Najib Thorani.
And we'll see you next week.